Well, I wasn't there just to drink beer for obvious reasons, but most days there was beer involved at point, usually in the evening. But we went on various trips and things, and we invariably did find ourselves having the odd pint, because it's like, you know, that's that kind of thing that you don't really want to miss the opportunity to pass up a really good ale because it's there and it's not expensive. And so now I'm paying for it because my belly's I went to put on my work shorts this morning, and damn if the waistband hasn't got tight on me.
It was humid. It did get rather humid here for a little bit. I am Ross. Joining me once again back from the UK is my co-host Ian, and together over the views of Dracula's castle, we are attempting to drink Nova Scotia dry. And we go live right after we have a conversation, and so you have no idea what I'm talking about, but I'm sure Whitby Castle will come up more than once. You've been away for 2 weeks?
Yeah, only 2 weeks. Felt like longer, but it's only 2 weeks.
I managed to do it, so I was away, but in between the episodes. So 2 weeks ago, I think I did one by myself, and that was the rye ale. You know how I kept saying, hey, we've got these two, and they're called rye ales. We should probably get those out of the way. We should try those ones. Oh, you set aside an evening, and you and Rebecca have those rye ales, and hopefully they'll be very tasty. You might have frozen, but I'll continue on, because the second week you weren't here was last week, and I got to talk to our good friend, Mike Butler, speaking also of Dracula and performances, because you and he were in the performance of Dracula at Quick as a Wink Theater, and that I'm now trying to remember whether that was pre-pandemic or post-pandemic. It was post. So much has happened. I feel like the pandemic was just yesterday, but at the same time, I feel like there's still this not honeymoon period, but fallout period of pandemic stuff. So you get to answer this question. If you're back to square.
I'm back to the square.
You ready for this one? When was Dracula performed down at Quick as a Wink in Windsor? Was that post-pandemic? Was that in the hours afterwards or just in the hours before?
It was in the October immediately preceding COVID. So what's that, like 5 months beforehand, something like that.
Okay, so it was just before, because I feel like it was a while ago, but then in my mind it was also, no, that was just after the pandemic. I said, but just after the pandemic was a year ago, and it was longer ago than that. Anyway, I was discussing that I talked to myself for a week, and then I talked to Mike Butler the second week, and you and Rebecca now get to enjoy the two rye ales that I drank while you were gone, but you should have in your fridge.
I hope so. I haven't drunk them in the meantime. No, you were. I think I spoke to you one evening after you'd done the rise, and you remind me of what you said to me. I think I'm looking forward to them, though. I think you spoke well of them.
I did. I enjoyed both of them quite a bit because as it came out, and I learned a little bit about making rye ales, and it's yet another, you know, ancient monks and crazy people did it this way, and basically it's, oh, what if we use a darker grain, like a full-on different grain entirely? And I think the rye is, you don't use 100% rye in it. It's sort of like a 60%. Now I've forgotten everything. Go back and listen to the episode. I say smart things in it, and I've forgotten every single thing since then, which is an immediate parallel to my trips to Montreal, where even after three years of French immersion in my utes, in my middle school days, I can't speak French. I cannot, I could bluster through one or two conversations, but my French is not good.
I didn't know you did French immersion. So you were like, your school only spoke French. Is that what you're saying?
Just my one class. I was in one classroom.
Oh. Ah, okay.
So we did that, and then we spoke English at lunch, and we got to talk to all the other Anglophones and whatnot, but it was all 100% French in all of our classes, which was easy enough.
Those rye ales, then, they would have been a little on the strong side, wouldn't they?
I need to find the thing. Yes. Oh, they don't tell me.
So these will be an entirely lighter fare this evening than yes. the big heavy stuff.
Yeah, they were yeah. a 6.7 okay. and where was the other one from? It was from Tanner. Tanner and Company did the 5.3 and a 6.7. So they weren't because one is a rye IPA and one is just a rye ale. So, okay. but they're both the same kind of thing. Where instead of made with barley as the grain, they're made with rye or 50-50 or some percent less than 50-50 okay. rye. But just so a little bit more dark, a little bit more caramelly, a little bit more maltificated. I can talk about rye forever. But we are doing blonde ales, and we talk about this every now and then. When a blonde ale does come up, I say, I'm starting to become on the side of a blonde ale. I like a delicious blonde ale, and I found some delicious blonde ales. And we did have a couple that were waiting for us there in the closet. And here is the first one. It is the Party Dove Blonde Ale from Rare Bird. Rare Bird out of Guysborough County, which I do like as a brewery because every single one of their beers has a bird theme. They're all named the bird, some kind of theme of bird. And then the beer. And a lot of information and a lot of thought goes into all of these because not only do they have the description of the beer, they have the description of the bird. So it's all about not always endangered species, but certainly the preservation of the species.
Oh, that's good of them.
So who said disco is dead when Party Dove joins your flock? Nothing ails this confident blonde. You can find her on the dance floor, boogieing to the flap of her own wings and living life in full flight. With pearl and nugget hops, this gal has class and you won't find her in a mash pit. It's because it's... Right. This classic blonde ale's mash is approachable, balanced, and clean wildflower honey from our apiary. Along with some homegrown lavender, make this brew a true Nova Scotian rare bird. Now that is the beer description, and I think you get that. Oh, no, the bird is the morning dove. So the party dove. It's the party dove, but it's the morning dove. Who said the disco's dead when the party dove? So that was the first part of it. It was all about the bird. And just about morning doves in general. And I love the can. I love the art. The artwork on the can, I think they sometimes credit the artist.
She's very attractive, the morning dove that I'm looking at. She's fluttering her eyes. She's got lovely long eyelashes, and she's boogieing away there on the floor in her red stiletto heels. Quite a bird. Quite a bird, Russ.
So I guess, I don't know, the party dove, the blonde ale, they're doubling down on some sort of disco thing, but I don't get the illusion, or not the illusion, but the thematic connection between a morning dove and disco music or dancing. Oh, I just dropped a. Okay.
You've just got to imagine sometimes. You've got to suspend your disbelief a little. I don't think it's not deep. They just like throw some stuff together and if it looks nice and it piques your fancy, and then they've done their job, haven't they? I don't think it's too deep, to be honest. Don't think too much into it. Oh, I've had this before, Ross. I'm not going to lie. I have had this before. And I think only because I think you and I both bought these cans and furnished one another with them, I think, at one point. And I thought, well, I've got two of these then.
Oh, was this that
and
one?
I think so. I really believe it is. And Rebecca and I shared a can several months ago. So this is a spoiler alert. I liked it. So this should be, I'm looking forward to this again.
Well, I thought it might have been available in the NSLC Party Dove. Let's try this. Blonde Ale. Oh, there we go. So it says it's available at the NSLC. That's good. Because over on where I'm finding the Rare Bird site at AcadianMaple.com, craft beer products, they're sold out of it. But you can apparently still get a Party Dove in select Nova Scotia liquor commissions. Oh, and this one we're drinking first because it's coming in at 5.0%. So a basic entry-level Canadian beer right there. I love the lavender. Oh, maybe that's why, because they did say that they added some lavender to it. Each of the cans, they do have the same artwork for the bird, but each of the cans has kind of a different background color to the bird, and this one has that lavender color. And just as I said it out loud, because I think that was in the description for something that they added in.
Look at the color of it.
Yes.
In that glass. It's a white color, isn't it? It's a golden sort of... just as an aside, the smell coming off it immediately, I remember, it's quite yeasty. It's quite bready, and which is... I'm disappointed with myself now, because having just spent 2 weeks eating a ton of bread and muffins and crumpets and scones and you name it, I've had it all. Every breakfast I went, we had cream teas, bread was high on the menu, and the first thing we said when we get back is, let's just do a month without bread. And the first beer I'm cracking this evening is like a loaf of bread. What? So I've failed already.
I was trying to think of the best way to sort of bring you back, to welcome you back. I said, do we try something like, you know, do we bring you back with an English bitter or a good thick stout or something? Or honestly, the best thing we probably could have done health wise would be to pick a nice berry sour.
Yeah, nice berry sour.
Start,
that would make I you wouldn't have been going.
you would have definitely called in sick had we done that, I think.
It's been 27 degrees today, by all accounts. I didn't see it because I was indoors at Michelin. They had my full attention for 12 hours a day. So I haven't seen any of it, but it's been a lovely, warm, sunny day. And I got in there, I thought, it's a bit warm in this, bit sticky in the apartment this evening. But my Party Dove and my Hilltop House Tidal Boar Blonde have been in the fridge all day. This is the cold beer I've drunk in quite a while.
Mine were in my little beer cupboard over there, and I think in this kind of heat, even just a cement windowless slab does not keep things cool. So this is definitely not frigid cold. So the smell I'm getting off of this one, I don't know how else to describe it. This might be what you're talking about, the yeasty, bready smell, but I'm smelling tomato soup. That is the smell that I'm getting off of this. And I think that might just be the head. It might just be the age of it being in there. Is it wildflower and honey and homegrown lavender? So maybe it's going to be a little bit floral, but it's reminding me of the red that we had from Rare Bird, and I feel like it had a funny smell. Like, at least the head on it had a funny smell like that, but the taste of it was perfectly fine. So I'm hoping that it gets past that. It gets past the spiciness.
So they've got their own apiary. They've got their own bees, and they
apiary.
Make their own honey.
Yes. Rare Bird apiary. I spelled that wrong. Our brand... new portfolio of 6 unique beers is blah, blah, blah. This is over at the... So, Rare Bird is the craft beer section of the Authentic Seacoast Trading Company. So that they've got kind of a little bit of everything. How... is that a nan bread or a... what is that? Oh, look at all these interesting... oh, it does say... at Rare Bird themselves, they say that they're sold out of the Party Dove. But they've still got the Sea Piper Coffee Stout. We've tried that. A Dry Hopped Pilsner. The Arm Twister Red Ale. We've had that. Because that was... yeah, that was the one. The Fohawk New England Session... Do you know what's worse than everyone having an IPA? Is everyone now having these 4.1 or 3.5 Session Ales. And they taste... just like an IPA, but they don't get you drunk enough to not care anymore.
And you're saying it's defeating the purpose then?
Yeah. I mean, if I'm going to drink something, I want, just give me the Propeller Galaxy. I know it's a little overhopped for, you know, not malty for my taste, but it's a 6.7. So if I have one, I will not care.
I've been sniffing this now for several minutes. I'm hope waiting for you to get the last of your pan in there.
I'm trying.
Tantalizing. So I remember this being actually really rather good.
Give it a bit of a filter.
Well done, sir. You put it all in.
Well, that's because I used my 20-ounce glass, because I did a bit more research, and I've learned that in Canada, saying a pint legally has to be 20 ounces, and you cannot serve a pint. If you serve something and call it, oh, would you like a pint, and it comes in anything less than a 20-ounce glass, you can complain to the manager.
It was my first night in Blighty. I was in the local pub round the corner from my mother's house watching Portugal in the in their opening European soccer tournament game.
As you
and
do.
And I was having this conversation with you, was I not? I was sending... I think it was with you.
We were messaging.
Yeah, we were messaging. And the bloke I was standing at the bar with, because I was asking the barman what constitutes a proper pint, and he was telling me right down the line what you just were saying, that 20 ounces is your pint. 560 mil, 550 or 560, I can't remember now. 563, I got there. 563 is a full pint. So anything less than that, you're being diddled out of enough beer. So all this 473 nonsense that you're getting in cans these days is, to me, just... It's a cop-out.
Are they trying to change the delivery size? Are we trying to make a pint not a pint? Are we trying to apply shrinkflation to a unit of measurement?
Shrinkflation.
I'm line in the sand. No, you shall not pass. Hopefully.
Yeah. Well, it's happening.
With all of my political and influential clout, I say, no, sir, this far and no further. This is, look at the orange. It's quite a quite an orangey and an amber kind of blonde. I mean, if you held this up and just said, what do you think this is? I would not say blonde. I'm looking forward to it, though. Are we all set? We have waxed poetic enough.
Absolutely.
And chills. Rare birds, morning doves, coo, coo, coo.
It's very, very flavorsome, isn't it?
Yeah. Well,
are you getting a kind of orangey taste?
There's a zest. It's not the same kind of citrus like to a hazy pale a hazy IPA that we get. It's not that, but it's a zest, and I like that.
It's quite zingy. It's kind of orange. I mean, you said it orangey. I think you did about the color. It's got an orangey flavor to it. Honey, I'm reaching. I'm trying to find the sweetness of a honey.
Yeah, I don't think I get that. Lavender made with blonde ales, wildflower honey. Maybe. I don't know. I don't think I've ever had it like a wildflower honey, like a flavored honey like that before. So a sweetness. Yes, I suppose there is a sweetness up front. Smooth down the back end. No bitter whatsoever. This is the best blondes I find where it gives you. Here is the rounded flavor of I find blondes are uncomplicated, where it's just. Here is the flavor, and it gives you this lovely rounded flavor, and then it just slowly cascades its way out. Did you catch the very subtle way that I managed to squeeze in my burp in that sentence without it being too obvious? You know what I mean? A blonde ale to me, a good blonde ale, doesn't change. It doesn't give you a this up front and a that down the back. This one says, here's the flavor, and then, enjoy. I would hope that's what it's trying to do, because I like that.
I'm not adding anything to that. You put it so eloquently. That's what I've been missing these last 2 weeks, as I've been downing and pints of dark stuff. It's all been I go straight for the dark stuff, the maltier dark stuff. Even here in the back end of June, as it was, and early July, I just can't get enough of my malt, mate. This is really nice stuff. I've become a fan of blondes like you. Lighter colored and not so malty. I'm quite happy now to drink a blonde or even a pale ale. Not so much the IPA still, but although there have been a few that I'm like, I'm okay with this. So I'm not a convert by any means, but blonde ales, if there was no malty offering in this pub that I walked into, then if they've got a blonde, I might just go for it.
Mm.
I'm quite happy to do that. This is quite citrusy and flowery, but not citrusy, not like the lemon bitterness, like you said, the sourness they get. This is definitely more of an orangier zest to me. Quite sweet.
The way that you would get like an orange, maybe a zested, like an orange rind or some kind of flavor in like an orange chicken at a restaurant. You get like orange or what's the other one? Butter chicken is the other one, but that's not quite right. You said an orange chicken on noodles or something like that, and that's the flavor of orange that I'm getting here. It's more the zest than the citrus.
Orange chicken. Dear rare bird, you taste like a chicken.
Well,
the
chicken notwithstanding, it tastes like the sauce that comes on the chicken. How about that?
I've got a little window box just turned up on my phone, which I've never seen before. It says multi-window closed. Your phone is too hot. Let it cool down before using multi-window again, it said. I've never had that before, so I'm going to have to say okay. I was wondering whether it was just going to then just boot me off my phone. That's a good concern.
Yeah, I wonder what's going to happen when you say okay. Then all of a sudden, everything changes. I didn't think you were multi-windowing. Right. Are you multi-windowing? Multi-windowing without my knowledge?
How dare you, sir? Phone did one of those little 4 a.m. updates this morning, so I woke up to that. So I thought, I when updates happen and you're like, oh please don't screw up what wasn't broken before. Don't mess with it all. So I'm always a bit wary when updates come along that they're going to mess with all my apps. But that's the first window I've had. I think we're okay so far. Okay, it hasn't. Yeah.
We'll wait for further messages saying, I was warning you.
Yeah. Do you like flying?
Pardon?
Do you like flying? I assume you didn't drive to Montreal. You did fly.
No, we finally did fly because I checked online, and with my credit card that I've used since I was about 16, we had the points available for us to go there and back again. So that was nice. So the flight to Montreal and back cost my daughter and I $70 because that's how much was left over after I used all of my points that I've collected for the last 20 years. I think
I did something very similar last year on my vacation. I've been collecting my CIBC points all these years, and I was told that you can fly around the world if you want it with all your. Anyway, I used it to get to the UK and back, and you know how that went in the end, because it all set up and I had to buy a ticket for almost $2,000 anyway to fly through into the United States. So that was all a waste of money. And also I flew to watch a certain Peter Gabriel in September on the points as well. And I've still got leftovers. Crazy.
I do not have any leftovers. And then I checked, and then I said, well, let's see how the air miles are doing. Clickety, clickety, click. How's my air miles account? That I've been collecting air miles since my early 20s. So there's another 20 years of air miles there. How many of those have I got? I said, you've got, nearly... It was some silly number. But then they said, well, every... what was it? Every 400 or 700 air miles is the equivalent to, like, $20. And I did the math on it, and I said, so how many air miles have I got? Of all these air miles I've been collecting for this amount of time, you've got about $320 of air miles. I went,
rubbish, isn't it?
Wow. And it showed you all the ones, and it was like, oh, here's a fill up at the gas station, $70. Air miles earned, one.
Yeah.
Am I not going on coupon day? Is that it? I'm not micromanaging absolutely everything about this one. I just kind of said, oh, blip this. Yes, collect this. I am collecting. Am I not? Should I not be collecting? Are you not entertained?
Was nonsense. I never got into that shebang. I always thought there was, you can't, it's like you think you've got a ton of stuff and then like loads and loads of things, and then it equates to hardly anything when you try to make it into actual money.
It is the illusion of loyalty. And I'm slowly learning that, because I learned dozens of years ago that you don't get anything for being loyal to a company. You know, I've just had the same phone company for the longest time, and you call up and you say, hey, you know, you've got this new promotion going. Say, oh, no, sir, that's only for new customers. I said, yeah, but I've been a customer for 12 years. Do I not get the deal? They said, no, this is just for new customers. So the way to do it, you just get rid of the concept of loyalty and switch phone companies every time your time with them is up, or they say, okay, yeah, you're not on this thing anymore. You're not beholden to us. You say, fine, I'm switching again, because they'll make me an awesome deal just for switching. My problem is I'm incredibly lazy and I can't be bothered switching everything around every single time. So yeah. I just hope that loyalty happens, and then I lose all.
They get around that. While that they promote brand loyalty and yet the customer loyalty works the other way around, in that there's, you know, if you buy a car from a local dealer, then you're going to get letters and Christmas cards through from them for years afterwards, saying, oh, it's our customer appreciation day on June 14th. You have been specially invited, Mr. Granger, because you bought a Dodge Caravan 7 years ago from us, to come to our special customer appreciation day, where they'll try to sell you another van.
But you'll get a free coffee.
Oh, you'll get a free coffee. Of course you will. And you'll get their undivided attention, because they'll want to sell you some more of their wares.
Yes.
But in the case of phones, of course, and your TV, if you're still foolish enough to have some kind of TV service rather than getting rid of it like most people have,
yep.
They don't give a damn that you've been with them for 15 years. They only want to get more customers, because everyone else is leaving in droves, knowing that they're charging way too much for rubbish.
Now, the other thing that you can do, and this has happened to me twice, was finally we had someone come around the door and they said, oh, I'm from the other company, and did you know you can get this for pennies? And I said, oh, yeah, but I'm with them and I can't be bothered switching. Well, we waive the switch fee and we waive this and it'll be really easy and we'll set it up and we'll be here next weekend. I'm like, okay, that sounds almost pretty good. So I called my existing company and I said, hey, what do I have to do to cancel my thing? And they said, oh, you're gonna cancel? What's going on? And I said, oh, I'm just looking into canceling. And said, well, what happened? And I said, well, you know, the other guys, they showed up and they could do a really good deal. Well, we can kind of match that. Do you want a discount for the next 6 months? We can give you the discount for the next 6 months. So the other thing that you can do is threaten to leave. It's the most bizarrely. I feel like commercialism has gotten to the point where the best way to navigate it and deal with it is to be an incredibly toxic human. And I don't really have the desire or ability to do that. I just, nah.
It's a pity you can't do it with the liquor store. Because, that are totally in the clutches of the government for tax reasons. It's well known that it's just how it is that gas stations are all charging exactly the same for your liter of
Isn't it kind of fun? We have 5, 6, 7 companies, and every time it goes to $1.67 up to $1.72, all of them across the board. I think, why do we have different companies? What's the...
I never understood that. Having just come back from the UK as well, again, it was refreshing to pass a gas station that was selling petrol for $1.45. And then a mile down the road, someone was selling it for $1.38 or something. You're like, that's nice to see. There is some competition. There is still some healthy competition in certain places. Mm-hmm. And people can sell things at different prices so that it's not set in stone by the man. And you're basically just going to pay it regardless. You can't get a deal because it's everyone's selling it themselves, and all the companies are in league together. And they know that they can't be undercut, so they'll keep on doing it. That was the same with phone companies, I understand. The big three, was it not? Until fairly recently certainly in the Maritimes, when you got all these other ones coming in, the Purple Cows and the Kudus
But they're also getting bought out. And then so the big ones buy them out, and they undercut them, and then... cause them to go out of business. It's not ideal. A lot of people were all very late stage capitalists. We could complain about many things, us being the most trodden on segment of society, the middle aged white heterosexual males.
But you can complain. You can, sir, because of course you are a born and bred Canadian, and you should be your right to say, well, I don't like. However, Mr. Immigrant here.
You're one of these darned immigrants I keep reading about. I know. Oh, my.
I can't come in and start making waves saying, this is not how it should be. It should be like this, like it is in England. And they would say, well, then fucker off back there again if you think that's the case. And you'd be quite right to say that. I'm not going to complain about it because this is my chosen country, you know, to live in. And I love it here.
I take no credit for it whatsoever, but I'm happy to hear you say that because I think that this is a lovely place to live. It's not, things are not perfect, but I believe it's more of a global thing. I don't think it's just, I don't think Canada's gone wrong. I feel like the entire planet, something has gone incredibly awry, too much information passing and everything. The world got too small, too fast, and we're kind of dealing with the outset of a bunch of companies owning everything. And just trying to get through. But I think that the best place to try to get through the fallout of late-stage capitalism, this is one of the better places to do that. The other place is off the coast of Vietnam on one of those floating small towns. However, on a scale of a blonde, I have to give that a high 7, I think. I'd like it to... It's got some personality, but it's not... Not my favorite blonde.
I will go with you on that. I've had it before, like I said, and I do remember thinking, oh, this is really quite distinctive, and I liked it. I don't think I liked it as much this time. It does have that zinginess to it. It's quite refreshing. It's not bitter. But it's...
Does it win prizes for being unique?
It's quite fruity to me. It's the smell of it was quite yeasty, but the taste of it is quite fruity. It's actually more like to me like less like a blonde ale and more like, you know, when you have a blueberry ale.
That's happened.
Ale-ish. Right, on more than one occasion. I'm getting this with oranginess. I'm not getting notes of honey at all.
No.
Florally, a little bit. It's a bit like a fruity ale to me, and quite not quite what I expect from a blonde ale.
We've had this one in the cupboard for a while, so I'm wondering if it might have aged out. So, you know, the next time we should go on a bit of a road trip, we'll go 3.5 hours up the road to Guysborough, and we'll hop into Rare Bird, and we'll find out what's going on in ye olde tap room. Do they have, wait a moment, a closer tap room than that? Our distillery and tasting bar is open next to the Guysborough Memorial Hospital. Yeah.
This is 20 months old, Ross. This was canned in December of 22. I don't really know what is the recommendation for craft ales leaving them in cans? I really don't know.
Less than 20 months.
You think so? You think maybe after best drunk within sort of 6 or 8 months, maybe.
Yeah, I should think so. Hey, look at that. 3 hours and 13 minutes. I was pretty close. That's how long it would take to go from here. Oh, so 3.5 from your house then. split the difference.
I'm leaving this in my...
I'm leaving a few fingers in mine as well, just in case, because there is the mild chance that we might not like the next one. But moving on, Hilltop Hops on the other side of Windsor. I believe they do say they are proudly made in Brooklyn, Hants County, Nova Scotia, with locally grown hops. Hilltop Hops Brewhouse, the Tidal Boar Blonde. So what I learned as I was looking up on the Hilltop Hops page is the Tidal Boar is in fact the name of the small store that's right next to them. So they've got their store, and then the Tidal Boar is right there, and they're very close to the Tidal Marks, to the Minas Basin, trickles into that part of northeast of Windsor where all the big high tides do come in. So I'm not sure if it's named for the Tidal Boar store next door or if it's named for the fact that they're just on the Tidal Boar at best, because if you try to look up anything about Hilltop Hops beers, there's nothing. And I don't, unlike you, I don't check the Untappd reviews because I don't care.
I don't. Well, why would you?
I absolutely
normally
don't. We've got a 355 can, the small can, but of a 5.5 beer, so that's probably, I don't know, for the best, and we'll see what's happening here. That's sprayed everywhere. Whoops. Delight.
I always love the way they say, please drink responsibly. I mean, that's very subjective, isn't it? Depending on how responsible you are by nature.
What's the one... There's one down on the South Shore that I just started following. It's not Firkenstein. It might have been.
Firkenstein.
Was it the Firkenstein Brewery? Where a lot of theirs, yeah, the Firkenstein Brewing down in. Okay, they're out of Bridgewater. a lot of their descriptions and their announcements, they don't shy away from colorful metaphors. I will put. It's about the most polite way that I could put that.
Expand on that, will you?
Colorful metaphor is a Star Trek IV reference. The voyage home, Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock, where when Captain Kirk starts trying to talk, because they go back in time to the late 1980s, conveniently, because that's when it was filmed.
I saw that one. It's bloody awful. I remember them being in spats as well, and fedoras and things. And yeah, they flew around quite a lot, whizzing around through time. A bit like Doctor Who. I thought it was a terrible movie.
I think you're thinking of a different thing. Anyway, regardless, when Captain Kirk was calling someone, I think the word was double dumbass. He was calling someone a dumbass. And then Spock said, what's going on with this? And he says, oh, well, this is how they talked back then. And Spock referred to swearing as colorful metaphors. And I've always loved that. So whenever you talk to a fellow Trekkie, which apparently you are not, about this, then you get to say colorful metaphors, and they know that you're talking about swearing. So there are some naughty words in the updates from Firkenstein Brewing. I'm pretty certain. I was just trying to find an example of one here on their Instagram page, and I have not been able to do so, but I'm fairly certain that Firkenstein has a, you know, it's a firkin good time, and they use a lot of firkin in their Firkensteins like that. Now I can't even remember what we were talking about, but it was the wording of such, I think, was where I was trying to go.
And where you were going with that? This is called Golden, right?
Well, yeah, I'm expecting more of a basic blonde. Oh, it was just the fact that Hilltop Hops, I can't find many of their informations anywhere. There probably would have been some things on Untappd, but I don't think they were Useful Hilltop Hops title. Bull. Hilltop Hops Brewery Beer. Hilltop Hops. Thank you for supporting. I tried to find some things on their because on their Facebook page, sometimes they'd update things by local, blah, 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 special or list, price list. Got to Richmond Hill. Didn't care. Hilltop.
Is there. That the Rare Bird Craft Brewery in the background? Because it looks very much like a hotel.
It is, yes. Is that what... This is the Rare Bird one. Sorry, yeah, I forgot to switch it over to...
No, that's okay. I was just wondering, is that a photograph you took yourself when you were visiting, or have you visited? Or...
I have not. I've driven past it by accident, so the only time... Actually, I've driven past Guysborough twice. I didn't stop in Guysborough. We didn't stop there on our way to Cape Breton for our honeymoon. This is several years ago. And then on the time that I drove my daughter to Sydney and tried to stop at numerous... breweries on the way back, it was another one of them that was closed, so it just kind of perfect storm of if you try to go anywhere on a 7 p.m. on a Saturday night, you're just not going to be in any sort of luck whatsoever.
I like the way you said you drove past by accident.
I didn't realize I was driving past Guysborough. I just know it's over in that direction. This person is having a Tidal Boar Blonde Ale by Hilltop Hops Brewhouse. No description. Here's some pictures. No description. What a wonderful sight this is. I'm so glad everyone checks in with Untappd to describe what's going on. Aha! Not my favorite. It's a bit full and lacking in taste.
Well, I'm getting a metallic smell from my Tidal Boar Blonde. Interestingly, I don't know whether that's the can itself.
I'm wondering that too. I washed my cans because they may have been in there for a while. This is one of those things. We don't get to the blondes very often because we get to other things that we like better. So it's one of those.
That's okay.
And stop spilling and making a big mess. Right hand of
there
mine.
There is definitely a bit of a metallic-y smell, but it also smells a little, dare I say it again, little orangey again.
Really? I'm getting kind of a lagery, but I'm getting that same tomato soup smell off of it, but it's a bit more lagery now. It is, the color is quite different. It is definitely more of a lighter, straw-colored, lagery color, which you'd expect from a blonde. The other one, the Rare Bird, is a little too red for a blonde. Because it's a blonde. I mean, honestly, fine. Call it the strawberry blonde morning dove ale or whatever. What is a reddish yellow bird? We have a bird's nest in one of our little birdhouses just out here. And there have been birds coming in and out of it for 3 weeks. And we've been trying to figure out what kind of bird it is. And my wife's standing out there with her phone sort of waiting this afternoon going, okay. Okay, and every time she looked away, a bird would fly into it, and she finally got a video of it, and we think it's some kind of small swallow, I think.
A reddy yellow bird, did you say?
Yes, but the extension of that story is, I don't know how to identify birds. I'm bad at it, so I couldn't think of a bird that was sort of a blonde, but with red tinges bird, like... A finch. Yeah. What's the a goldfinch, but a bloody goldfinch. Hello from a bloody goldfinch blonde from Hilltop Hops Brewhouse.
Yeah, I'm not your man. I know nothing about birds at all.
Bird knowledge is pretty crap. Hey, speaking of you being an immigrant, this is what I was mildly alluding to. Two things about your accent. One. There is a opportunity. There's a lot of filming industry around Nova Scotia, and this is more of an off-air conversation, but I'm going to have it anyway. And they're asking for submissions, and it says you must have, and I love the wording of this one. You must have a natural. What was it? It was either natural or normal British accent, was how it was put, and I went, well.
This is what you did a little while ago. You did this several months ago, and for your a Hennessy thing, did you not? And your accent was, you picked on a London accent, did you not? And you went
for it. They wanted, for that one, they wanted London tough guy.
Yeah.
And that was kind of what they were saying. But for this one, I feel like, I'm in the completely wrong place entirely now. For this one, it was just kind of generic, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's mature piano player. I don't want that. What's the other one here? Oh, yeah.
I think my British is quite authentic.
That's what I try. Yeah, British soldier. And this is getting rid of the Mi'kmaq. So this is a number of years ago. And they say, common. This character needs to have a common British accent. Yeah. So I say to myself, what does that mean? You don't sound royal. You don't go up and say, hello. We would appreciate it if you would mildly be able to discontinue your activities forthwith and vacate the premises. So probably not that. That less of a common. That's more of my royal extra foppish voice. So
I'm wondering whether or not they meant common as clearly there's two descriptions for common off the top of my head. Do they literally mean common as in common as muck? Or, you know, like
but that to me is.
Or is it just a common one that just an everyday English accent?
And that's what I wonder. They want everyone to sound basically like what's his face, Colin Firth, or
he speaks very well. I'm thinking more like Stanley Holloway in My Fair Lady, Audrey Hepburn's father in it, because he's as common as mucking acting. So that's the way he talks.
That's a good question. But since these are Canadians, I think what they're saying is, you know, just sound like Benedict Cumberbatch as best as you can. And just conversationally basic British. Not above and beyond. I don't think they want I don't know how to describe it. A character-driven accent. They just want, have the accent, but it does not define you. Kind of thing. They just need someone saying hello as opposed to hello, you know, where there's a difference.
We'll
between
definitely
the two.
Talk about this off air then, Ross. Thanks for bringing it to my attention.
Okay.
We'll have fun with this after.
I had a second topic of conversation specifically about your accent, but more about you, because I had a great idea on my drive home tonight, but we'll get to it because my beer is finally
cheers.
Tastable. Well, something going on there. Yeah, cheers indeed. Oh, that's easy to drink. Oh, ooh. Ooh, what? Ooh.
Is
that a... I'm missing all flavor until the middle, where that metallic thing that you talked about, it just...
Yeah, still metallic.
But it's...
There is...
It's weak and it's subtle and it's not overpowering. This is... What is this?
This is... A little stronger than the other beer, isn't it? What, 0.5 of a percent? It doesn't taste it to me. It's actually smoother, a smoother finish than the Party Dove. There is a honeyness to this one that the other one didn't have, and yet this doesn't even mention that.
Wow!
But it is a bit. Okay, go on.
We have yet to find a description of this one.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
So it has no official description to it.
I'm getting a little honey.
I think I am too.
It's really subtle, though.
You absolutely have to search for every flavor in here. Yep. It is a weak anything. This could be a weak lager. This could be a weak pale ale. It's just not. Where is the flavor?
I'm getting off of it. it's a little familiar to, and I don't know, would you, while you're searching there, I can't search on my phone because then you'll just disappear. When you look up what Bitburger in Germany, what beer that is classed as being under, because this reminds me of a Bitburger, whatever that is. Maybe that's a blonde ale or maybe a pale ale. It's quite reminiscent, and I found those a bit metallic as well, with a slight sweetness.
What kind of beer is a Bitburger?
I don't mind it. I don't mind it. That's the nicest thing I can say about Genesis. I don't mind it.
I wouldn't be ordering a second of either of these. I'm starting to get a bit more of a flavor. There's a bit of a zing. There's something going on down at the bottom of this Hilltop one. Now, it's a shame, because when we did the Bock night, the Doppelbock of from Hilltop was... Oh, yes, please. So happy to have found that one and getting through a couple of the Bocks that night. But, oh, hello.
Pilsner. Sitting on that?
It's a Pilsner.
Quite a Pilsner, is it? Mm. Okay. Okay. Well, blondes, Pilsners, pale ale.
I know. We haven't quite
figured out. It's all
about how it's fermented and how it's made. Speaking of, we'll need to start making beer ourselves. Putting our money where our mouths are. But that's the thing, right?
Indeed. I was going to help you, wasn't I, before I went on vacation. We said, what the hell, we'll wait till I come back. Yes, we will get on to that.
I'm glad we waited. I'm glad we're not stressed. It's not a thing, you know, we absolutely need to... we're on a strict schedule of... No,
I could put mine on at the same time. I think we'll do a batch each. It's okay. You marked that as a 7 for the party, Dove.
Maybe a 7-7, I think.
Okay, I didn't enjoy it as much as I did the last time I had it several months ago. Yeah. Maybe it's gone past its best, or maybe... I kind of doubt that. It's only just over a year and a half in the can. I'm more up for it. I might have been in a more of a party Dove mood, like the beautiful bird on the front of it at the time. I didn't love it this time around. I'll give it a 6.5 out of 10 for a blonde ale, because it was okay. It didn't tick many blonde ale boxes for me though, Ross. It was like a fruity ale. I would expect Paddy's to come up with that.
You think? Okay. Does
that make sense?
I'm very curious now. I'd love to go to the Rare Bird, you know, tap room. Be right there if I can. It's so far. It's such a long way to go just for, you know, a couple of beers, but. We're gas, yeah. Maybe not quite so expensive. Money not an object. I would happily go and sit. You know, once a week, I'd go. Oh yeah, I'm leaving at noon, and I gotta go drink some beers tonight, and then I'll be back. 12 hours away just to go have a small flight out at some tiny little craft brewery in Guysborough, Nova Scotia.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. No, be in the middle of the ocean for all I know. Where the heck is it?
So, on your way to Cape Breton, when you're driving, you pass Antigonish, and then you drive forever, and there's nothing. And then finally, there's a left turn to go to Cape Breton. If you don't take that left turn, if you take a little right just beforehand, so Guysborough is around the Canso shore, near as makes no difference. It is just before the Canso. Yeah, the Canso Shore. It's its own thing. It's its own county, for God's sake. So you head up there, and there's a large chunk of northeastern mainland Nova Scotia that is very unfamiliar to me. I know how to go from Antigonish to Port Hawkesbury, and along the south shore from Dartmouth, I know how to get to Sheet Harbour, but Sheet Harbour connecting up to the northern path of Anniganish and New Glasgow and you know Truro and that road, and then all the way east is like a huge chunk of the province that I've just never really considered.
And you are there craft breweries aplenty in said part of Nova Scotia? Because if there are, what, there's one. Is that it? One.
There's one.
No.
So if I'm gonna, no, right. I wanna, how do I get out of here? Search Google Maps for brewery. And it's going to tell me, if I search this area, okay, I'm searching Eastern Nova Scotia, and it's gonna tell me that there's a bunch, so it's half-cocked, and there's, oh, what's Steinhardt? Oh, that's the 902. Oh, okay, neat. Oak Manor is that way. Make your own wine and beer limited. Rare Bird is there. Big Spruce. So basically, Sober Island is outside, you know, is Sheet Harbor along the eastern shore outside of Dartmouth, not that far. And then there's nothing. And then along the north shore, the Northumberland Strait, you get into New Glasgow, Pictou, where that was where Uncle Leo's was. There's Anniganish has got Candid, I think, and then Half-Cocked is just a little ways out there. 902 Brewery is apparently still up there. I thought they'd close down. And then when you get into Cape Breton, you get Big Spruce, and then eventually you get Breton Brewing further towards Sydney. But in the Port Hawkesbury area, between Anniganish and basically Sydney, no, where's Big Spruce? It's there in, oh, what's that one called? That's, oh man, Victoria County. What are you telling me? Big Spruce is in Bedeque. So Bedeque, halfway through Cape Breton. Between Anniganish and Bedeque, there is this, if you turn off the highway and go south for a while, you'll land in Guysborough, and that's where Rare Bird is. They're the only one in this huge zone over there. So I'm kind of glad. It's the reason that, you know, if we say that we host and we do the show of Drink Nova Scotia Dry podcast, and if someone says, where are you located? I'm not tempted to say, oh, you know, Canso, obviously. I mean, where all the breweries are. I recently counted. There are seven. Well, no, wait. Six and the seventh one coming. Seven breweries in Kings County. Not to mention all the ones that are in Annapolis County. Hants County. There's a bunch around here. We're doing great. I feel, but
that one you're talking about, that the other one, the one that's coming, of course, is the one that we went to 3 or 4 weeks ago in Port Williams itself.
Yep, tried to go in there and see if we could get some insider information. We did get a little bit of insider information. Glad we brought Tim, the talker. He put his patter down. Mm-hmm. I think we learned quite a lot due to Tim's skills with the vocabulistics. Mm-hmm. And we learned bits and pieces. I did leave, you know, and I left a business card, so we're hoping to hear back from them in the future. I think I'm sticking to my 7.7 for the Rare Bird, and for the Hilltop, 7.9. Slightly higher, quite an 8.0.
This is for your dubious scoring or individual beer styles.
Yes.
You're saying then 7.9. Right,
as
okay.
As a blonde,
yeah, for a blonde ale, the Party Dove, I'm afraid, to me, didn't do it for me as a blonde ale. Hmm. This is more what I would expect the color and the flavor to be. Although, of course, like I just said, it tastes to me like a Bitburger, which isn't great. It's a metallic-y taste to me. I'm not loving either of them either, even though I said I really did enjoy the Party Dab last time. I'm a bit disappointed. I hate to compare them all with the Dirty Blonde by Nine Locks, which is really rather tasty, is it not?
I'm even meaner. I compare them to my favorite, the Marigold from Sober Island.
Yeah. Okay, well, They're cool. Okay, Ross. Neither of them I'm particularly excited by. I'm 6.5 of both of them. They have different flavors. I'm not in love with either of them, but they're better than Budweiser, so they're still getting decent marks for a reasonable effort.
We've almost stopped comparing things and saying that they're smooth and have no bitter bite on the end. They have no awful aftertaste because there's hardly any. There's almost no craft beer in Nova Scotia that does. So there's no bite. That's great. And the Hilltop one is growing on me. As I get to the bottom of it, I think I'm getting a bit more of the flavor down near the bottom. It was almost flavorless at the top. So I might nudge that to an 8.1. 7.7, 8.1. Going back to the 7.7, just for a last little gulp. I left way more than I normally would in the first one. Didn't really want to finish it.
Funny enough, you're going on to the party, though, but you just mentioned the bottom of the glass. It is sweeter down the bottom of the glass of the Tidalbore. Mm. There is a bit of honeyness there, and it's slowly getting stronger the further down I'm going.
Yeah.
So there is flavor in there. Maybe it needs. I've got a pencil here with a little eraser on the end. Maybe I should have just stirred that.
You'd be a bit late if you stirred it right now.
No. No, I'm going to go to the party dub again and reacquaint myself. It's so different, Ross.
Very different.
It's like drinking a fruit cocktail after the Tidalbore Blonde. It's so sweet now.
Like a pomegranate. Pineapple and blueberry fruit cocktail, you know, like one that's just a little bit. Oh, you've combined those. Okay, and
it's really, really sweet. It's still got that oranginess to it. It's frothy. It's actually frothy. It's maintained its head.
Oh yeah.
About a half an hour after we kind of finished it.
Might take to get through that.
It's a summery fruity concoction. Party Dove. Look at her doing that thing.
Regionally, is this how they like their beer in Guysborough? Home?
I wouldn't have thought so. It's kind of soury now after the title.
And I wonder if it's just the amount of time, because I think I've had the Sea Piper or Coffee Stout a bit more fresh, and it wasn't that kind of soury. So maybe we'll reach out to a few different people. Ooh, reaching out. I've reached out to a number of people, and hopefully we'll have some interviews coming up soon, but I need to talk to you about your availability, about when we'll be able to do all of that. But this coming Tuesday, seven days from now, we will be talking to the new brewer, I think. Either the new brewer or the new manager, or both, from Wayfarers Ale Society.
Oh, that's exciting. That's next week today.
So, yeah, we get to have that conversation. I'm really looking forward to that.
I shall be here then, but for now, I'm out of here.
So that's what's going on next week. So tune in. Next week, we're here every week, 8 p.m.-ish. A bit late tonight, sorry about that. A bit late last week. I do say ish, so you figured it. But if you want to catch the entire thing, the archives are up on YouTube. You can check out our YouTube page, youtube.com/@drinknsdry. That's where the excerpts and the edited versions go down. But the podcast is available, drinknsdry, at any podcasty availability places. We're up on the Instagram. We're up on the TikTok. We're up on the YouTubes that I've already mentioned. And for some reason, that kind of rhymed and worked out very rhythmically in my head. So check us out. Look up drinknsdry, myself, and on behalf of Ian, as well, my co-host, who I can't thank enough for being here, especially since he just got back to the country. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll talk to you again next week. Good night.